Okay.
Where's the fire?
Welcome. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for attending the performance scrutiny panel. This meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the council's website. Please also note that under the openness of local government bodies regulations 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recordings is not under the council's control. Thank you very much. We move on to item one, apologies.
Councillor Gerrard, Councillor Forrest and Councillor Barclay is a lead member.
Thank you. Minutes of the previous meeting. Is it your wish that these can be confirmed as a true record of the meeting held on the 20th of November?
Agreed.
Yes, agreed, Chair.
Thank you. Any disclosures of pecuniary and personal interest?
No.
There's no declaration to the party whip. There's no questions under scrutiny committee procedure 11.6. None have been submitted. So we now move on to the homeless strategy, which starts on page 12 of your agenda pack. And I would like to welcome Alison and Councillor Mercer. Okay. Welcome. Who's going to kick off?
I.
You are, right, Councillor Mercer.
Start off. The purpose of the report that you've got is to give an update on the delivery of our homelessness strategy, which runs up to 2020 but was adopted in March 2018. And the strategy itself has five main planks. The first is a strong and effective partnership working. Second is early targeted advice and intervention to prevent the loss of accommodation. The third is effective action to relieve homelessness. The fourth is support to sustain tenancies and prevent repeat homelessness. And the fifth and final is to protect and increase local housing options. What we are having to come to terms with, as I'm sure all of you know, is the Homelessness Reduction Act, which was implemented last April. And it has been a fairly massive task, a huge learning curve, mainly for the officers who are dealing with it on the front line. But I naively perhaps subjected myself to the same one of the training programs that they did. And this is an example of how much information they have to absorb. This is a 170-page document explaining how the Act actually works. And if you suffer from insomnia, I would strongly recommend this document. I've been on briefing sessions and went on a full day's training session with them, and I was particularly impressed, and so was the person who did the training, at how good they were at a quiz at the end. I did kind of okay, I think, Alison, is that reasonable to say? We did kind of okay, but particularly Guy, were absolutely brilliant. Mm. They knew all the answers. And it certainly gave me confidence that they are have been more than adept at implementing the Act and its nuances. And I've also sat in with a number of sessions with homeless applications to Charnwood just to see how it's actually being managed. And I think at this point it's important just to remind everybody that there's often a confusion between homelessness, rough sleeping, and begging in Loughborough, and certainly my experience is that certainly you don't see homeless people applying to be homeless, you don't see them begging or sleeping rough, and I've yet to come across any genuine rough sleeper who's begging and vice versa. I made a point of walking through the centre of Loughborough this evening, and I was approached by two beggars just walking up to me asking for money. That is nothing to do with homelessness. That's a professional begging problem that is a problem in Loughborough, not a problem in Nottingham, because the police take a hard line on this. We've had the progress on the action plan is as your report says, reported on a quarterly basis. The impact of the act, we always knew that it was going to result in more applications, and in quarter three we had 26 applications compared to 9 the previous year, and most notably there was an increase in single households. Temporary accommodation has gone up from 9 in March 2015 to 70 at the end of last month. And the main reasons, because obviously we drill down on all of this data, is that family, friends are no longer willing to accommodate people, and also the end of the private rented sector tenancies. Finally, I want to say that Charmer is coordinating on a funding basis, funding bids with for county and with Rutland and County Council and Leicestershire County Council for the £1 million pound rough sleepers program, and also the private access private sector access fund. So on that basis I would like to say that I'm very confident that we're on top of the challenges that we face with this new act, and I would commend this report to you.
Thank you. Alison?
Nothing to
know. Right, questions or comments or things? Councillor Hunt.
Thank you very much. Councillor Mercer, I would agree with you. Actually, there's an awful lot going on, definitely. Just one question. There are a fair number of things that say they're going to be done in early 2019. Can you comment on, you did explain at the beginning, you only started in 2018, you've only got till 2020, so early 2019 is perfectly reasonable. But can you tell me a little bit about what's being done right now to look at those particular issues in early 2019? And will they be done, or some of them be done, by the end of the financial year, please?
I could have a go, but I think Alison's probably better to
okay. Thank you.
If I pick up 1.2, and this is where we're looking at referral forms, because it takes us a lot of time with different charities and accommodation support providers, etc., to refer people. So if we could have one form, and I know there was some work done previously in relation to Charmer Connect, but that's disbanded, and how that form can be taken forward. But as the lead between the Chief Housing Officers Group and the Homeless Delivery Group, we're now looking at this on a county-wide basis, because we've got all the districts and boroughs referring into the same accommodation providers. So yes, if we make idea. One form and then they make another form, the providers are still having all these different forms. Mm-hmm. So we anticipate having that done by the end of March, and we need to get that done because that can take some officers up to an hour if you have to refer to more than one accommodation provider. Because you think that the accommodation providers need the same information, but depending on what support they're providing, they need more information, and you can't just copy and paste because no one's form's the same. So this is paramount importance that we get that done. If we look at what other items have we got, the pathways that we're working on, and again, because all the districts and boroughs are in the same position where we've got to develop pathways, and that's stipulated in the Act, we're working on that together. We're leading on, joint leading with Harborough on 3, which is a 16 to 17 year old protocol, the care leavers and people released from prison. People released from prison is drafted, and it's now been circulated to all the districts and boroughs for their comments, and then we'll have a meeting with all the probation, etc., to make sure they're happy with their aspect to it. They have fed into it, but it's just finalising the document. 16 to 17 year olds, I'm just waiting for some information from the youth offending team to finalise that, and that will be circulated and signed off. And care leavers, we've almost got a final draft to circulate. And what we intend to do as a county with all the others, because we've got drug and alcohol, what's the other ones, armed forces, domestic violence, and the hospital discharge.
Yeah.
We want to do a launch so that we get them all done. So at the moment we are, I suppose, linking in with all the others and making sure everyone else has got to that point. So once we've got all that done, we will do a launch. So probably in the beginning of the next financial year, that will be April, but we hope to have all these pathways completed by then. The other aspect we're doing as well is we're implementing some new software for our allocation policy and homelessness, which will help applicants in linking into how they manage their personalised housing plans. They will be able to go in and update things and say whether they've completed them.
Oh, that's good.
So that will be an advantage.
Yes.
The eviction prevention protocol, again, that's the Leicestershire Homeless Delivery Group one, and we've got a meeting on the 7th of February, so we'll be taking that forward. So I think everything's in train. It's how it all, hopefully it all doesn't all collide at the station at one point. Well, some of them need to, because we obviously need to do the launch countywide with a number of the pathways and the protocols. But I think we've got it all running along, and the other thing as well is, the biggest thing is having enough properties to house people. So what we've got there is got the empty homes officer so far today. He's bought 45 properties back into use.
Two more since then.
We're hoping to hit the 50 target. We've got the acquisitions policy, which will be coming under review. But we've purchased 7 and got offers in on 4. So again, that's trying to increase the number of properties available. And then we've got social lettings, and we've got a report going to Cabinet in February to do the fees and charges in relation to the tenant finder options, because we haven't had a couple of the ones we're going to have before, so we need to get them approved and then we can start offering them. So again, there's all that work ongoing as well, continuing, not ongoing.
Fantastic.
Sorry.
Very good.
Okay, very good, thank you.
Anybody else?
Yes, I just wanted to pass a comment, actually. I was actually quite impressed with the amount of work that's gone into it and the approach that it's taken, which is basically proactive. And I think it's going to be very effective in the long term. And so I just wanted to pass that comment and thank you for the work you've put into it, because it can't have been easy. Even attending training courses. so there was that. The only question that I did have is that I'm aware that you've been out doing surveys of homeless on occasions, and there have been stories before about people that were homeless, you know, that you approached of being homeless and they refused any help. Is that a major problem? Is not the right word.
If they're sleepers, you mean?
Well, that's the difference, is it? If they don't want any help, they're called rough sleepers.
Yeah. They're sleeping outside. They're sleeping
off. Okay. Yeah.
So we do an annual count, and right. We do a physical count. We don't do an estimate. We go out, and we've done that. Well, Councillor Hunt came to the last one. We've done that 3 years in a row. As far as anybody that is sighted rough sleeping, there's the Street Link website where you can put all the details. That comes through to us, and then officers go out to find the rough sleepers in the area that we've been advised they are. If we get any reports from any councillors, any members of the public, again, we will go out and we speak to the rough sleepers. Officers have been out today, actually, because I can't remember the exact location, but the rough sleepers have been identified. This was in a brick building, not just on the street. So every time we get a report, we investigate it. There will be some people that won't want to engage. For example, when we've done the rough sleepers count, we've offered people a bed, and at that point we're not asking if they're priority need, we're not asking if they're local connection, and people have said yes they want it, but then they don't turn up for the bed, and other people have refused them. So we can provide as much advice and assistance and offer accommodation, but if somebody doesn't want to be insisted or doesn't want to engage, they won't.
No, I'm fine with that. Yeah. I just wondered what sort of proportion it was. Yeah, that actually don't take up any help.
It is minimal. We found two rough sleepers last time, and they did take up the option. In relation to, we've probably got 10 or so rough sleepers currently that are rough sleepers that we're working with, but some of them have local connections elsewhere, so we're working in relation to a reconnection as well. But it's probably 2 or 3 that won't engage or don't want to engage.
So although they don't take up a bed, there's still actions you can take to try and...
We can provide advice and assistance, and we work with the Bridge because that's somebody independent, and there's the soup kitchen at the Falcon Centre, and there's a drop-in session. So, and sometimes 3 people going to the soup kitchen or going to breakfast, they build up a relationship with the Falcon Centre, which then means they'll either approach the Bridge or they will actually come into the council and start engaging. And they've got some people where they can do referrals into rehab, they've got mental health options where they can refer people in to get assistance with that aspect as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Payne.
I'd just like to reiterate on what Councillor Bevington said, and I've read the report, and in all seriousness, I'd just like to congratulate you and the team. I know Paul's been out and Jane's been out as well, and what more can you actually do? It's getting people on that ladder, isn't it? And again, I think it's an excellent report, and I'd like to pass on my comments to your department for the good work that
I make a point of whenever I see somebody who is begging in the town, I contact the bridge, and I've yet to come across a single case that they are not aware of who is not being dealt with in some way.
Yes, that's right.
But there are a certain strata of people who choose that is their lifestyle. We can't stop them doing that.
Absolutely.
We make offers to them.
Yeah.
And there's others, obviously I won't name who they are, but there's one, a fairly prominent one in Loughborough, who's actually on the electoral register. She's so homeless in her house. She didn't particularly appreciate me telling her I knew that, but she'll tell you she's homeless, as they all do.
Yes.
But as I say, working with the bridge, and even on when I went out on a freezing cold night, and I found four of them. Two told me where to go. One said he'd been invited to go to the Falcon Centre, but was happy to stay outside McDonald's until a bit later because it was quite lucrative. and the other said he wasn't really interested. So it's not just me.
Yeah.
It's a whole team of people.
Yeah, it's the
police.
It's
our staff. Yes. Put a huge amount of effort into this. And my only concern is that people look at the beggars in Loughborough and they assume that they're symptomatic of a bigger, deeper problem.
Not.
They're only an indication of the fact that nothing is done to stop begging, which is a criminal offence.
I suppose so.
Yeah. And if you'd like to come next November,
you're
both elected,
you're
more than welcome to join us.
Yes, we can dress appropriately.
Chair, if I could just comment on that. Yes, the November evening of the count and so on is incredibly interesting because, yes, there's lots of officers from the council, but there's a whole group of people, particularly from the bridge, but other organisations as well. And you suddenly realise what a fantastic network we've got of people and what great relationships we have with them. It's superb.
Yeah,
really
I did it some years ago.
And it's not just Loughborough, by the way.
No.
You go and do the count. I happened to be in Loughborough that night, but you were all over the borough in all different areas and villages as well.
Yeah. Councillor
Kempton. I rang up at Christmas. A chap approached me for money, saying he was living in the park with his family, storming. I did ring and report it. I just wondered if it was a fibbing or did anybody
probably fibbing.
Let you know? Or?
I think I'd have to discuss that outside the meeting, because that's an individual case, but I can get an update and talk to you outside.
Yeah.
But what one does find in the summer, and the reason we do it in November, is because in the summer there is a tendency in Loughborough for people to have a bit of a drinking binge and then move to the back. There's one or two sites in Loughborough where it continues into the early hours and they sleep it off. They're not, they're just drinkers. They're not rough sleepers, they're not homeless. That's why that doesn't happen in November.
Okay, so the recommendation is to note the update of the homelessness strategy of 2018 to 20, and we've made our comments. But I think you can gather from the comments around the table that are huge thanks to go to the whole department and all of you and all the other partners that are working.
Yes.
And we'd like that minuted.
Great.
And also the way that this has been laid out has made it such a pleasure to read. So much easier. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Alison.
We have a home strategy steering group this Thursday, so I'll ask the chair to read
would you?
Out.
Yes, please do.
Thank you.
Right, now, unfortunately, we don't have anybody from finance here this evening to discuss the next item, agenda item 7, which is the General Fund and HRA Revenue Monitoring Report. So what I would suggest is that rather than a big discussion on it, if there are particular points or questions you would like our clerk to put to walk to the head of finance, please do, but it won't be a discussion. It will be just putting forward things we'd like raised, and we will ask if that can be reported back to us. Probably sooner rather than later. It might be an additional report, if that's okay, that can come before our next meeting as a result of this meeting. So
So if anybody would like to ask a particular question.
I just had one, but it's very minor, and that was about the top of page 26. It says market income shortfall 26k, plus there are outstanding traders' debts of 8k to be recovered. I just wondered what those 8k of debts were for, and are they actually recoverable? Because it seems an odd figure to have there. I just wanted to query that.
Okay. Has anybody else? Councillor Huddleston.
Yeah, it's just a question really on the HRA variance report, which is page 28. There are two fairly large figures there as a, I think, a forecasting underspend at the year end, which is the compliance underspend, asbestos removal, etc., 173 at the year end, and the planned maintenance due to the late mobilisation contract, 284. They are fairly substantial figures. And I suppose my question is, will that money be carried over and any this, work that's not done?
Yeah, this is only up to October 20.
I know, but this is year-end forecast figure.
Yes.
So...
We'll, yes, if you can make a note of that
they're
question.
They're forecasting that they'll be underspent by $500,000 at the year-end, and I'd just like to know whether that's going to be carried forward and work done next year.
All right. Anybody else got anything you'd like?
No, thank you.
No?
No, thank you.
No. Yes.
Can I just clarify the current tenant rent arrears table, whether the panel had any thoughts about whether you'd like to measure the age of the debts as well as the number and value.
I think we would like to measure the age, so there would be another column on the page 30 so that we would know the age of the accumulated debt.
If I can comment. I think you actually need a series of time periods so that it's not just one extra column, it's actually several, so that you can work out how long the debts have been going on. I mean, some of the smaller ones might have been going on, they might have just turned up last month, or they might have been there for a long period of time and the tenants had a problem in a particular month some time ago, but have since kept up. Now, to be honest with those, I would suspect that we'll probably end up just writing them off. Some of the higher ones where we've got, well, at the top end, for example, we've got 21 in number.
2,000.
Of over £2,000. The average is only just over £2,000. And is that something that people have developed over, you know, over a long period of time, and this is the end result, and there are things being done about it, or
I think
so we can actually understand properly what's actually happening.
I think the council is in a slightly difficult position because we don't like to evict, but we ask people to pay the money that can't afford to pay the money, so it's a sort of a catch-22 situation.
Yes.
Sometimes we're asked to take very strong action against non-payers, but not to evict them. So, yes, Councillor.
I was just wondering if it would be useful to add in whether there is a payment plan in place, because it would be good to know whether it's a debt that's just ongoing and there's nothing happening with it, or if actually we are sort of slowly recouping that money back.
We, I think you will find there are plans in place, but I think also... sorry, I'm just looking for my paper. When we come to an eye paper later on in the meeting tonight, in looking at our forward work programme, an item is coming to our February meeting, which is to do with
tenancy support.
Yeah, so this will be part of that. Although that will be done by Councillor Mercer in Housing, we can ask for that to be included. Okay.
So, can I just clarify for purposes of the minutes that the question that you asked about the clarification on the current rent arrears, tenant arrears, you'd like that information before the next meeting, but the information that Councillor Rattray has just asked about the... payment plan, you would be happy to have that added into the tenancy support report for next month. Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Okay. Or
yes, please. Yes. Yeah. I was just thinking. It gets a bit micro, but for example, I'm just trying to work out what these 21 people potentially are. For example, if you go to prison, you can keep your tenancy for 13 weeks and 2 days before the process for court process for eviction. So you could get up to £1,300 or more and have no position to pay it at the moment because you are in prison, for example. Yeah. So, you know, it might not be for the want of trying, shall we say. But yes, perhaps the tenancy support, that part of the work programme would be very helpful in that.
Could I clarify, Chair, on the age debt profile of current tenants? You'll have an updated report coming to your next meeting.
Yeah.
So rather than having a historical breakdown of something that's now changed, it would be best to just have a further breakdown
that's
for
great.
The updated report
if
at your next meeting.
Yeah, because this is 3 months after, and the next report will take us up to the end of December.
That makes sense.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Adrian. Okay, everybody happy with that? We'll move on to agenda item 8, which is the performance update report on housing benefits. So I'd like to ask Carrie to join us. Welcome.
Thank you. So at the last meeting in November, you asked if I'd bring some further detail about regarding the current status of the processing time for housing benefit claims. So I've tried to provide a little bit more detail to give you some background as to how we reached the point we have and what steps have been taken. So as you'll see from the graph on page 33, there's been a steady climb in the processing times, really from April onwards, up until around August time where there was the peak at just over 25 days. There's been a number of reasons for that. The first and probably the main reason initially why this started to happen was because of some issues around the quality monitoring that we do in terms of the accuracy of processing of benefit claims. So we check about 10% of benefit claims to make sure that they're meeting all of our accuracy standards, because that has an impact in terms of our subsidy claim for benefits. And what we had been finding is that they weren't meeting the accuracy standards that we required. So we'd been working with Capita in order to bring those standards back up to the agreed targets within the contract. And as a result of that, what they did is slowed all of the processing down to make sure that the quality was there. And that was expected not to be for a long period of time. By slowing everybody down, it made sure everyone was being a bit more careful in what they were doing and that silly mistakes weren't happening. So that started a rise in our processing time, which we anticipated would level out once all of the advisors and the officers were retrained, refocused in order to manage their quality levels. So that was really where the graph started to go up. I think in combination with that, what we've also seen is a number of staff vacancies. And as we mentioned previously, once we get new people in, it takes quite a number of weeks to train them to actually be operational and be up to speed. But actually, because of the status of what's happening with housing benefits and universal credit, actually recruiting can be quite difficult now because people see this actually as not a long-term career choice because of the changes that are happening with the universal credit. So it takes a little bit longer. We don't have the same choice of wide variety of candidates. The calibre isn't always what we need. So that adds to delays as well. So the combination of those two things started to impact us. Excuse me. And then we moved on, obviously, to full service in universal credit. And that's obviously a massive change for us and really has having a significant impact, which I think you can see from the table that I've included on page 34, quite how significantly that has now impacted the service. You'll see obviously a gradual increase from where we started with 56 items, which are notification letters, and every single one of those we have to open, review and action if required, or actually some don't require any action, but we've still had to review them to see if they did. So we went from 56 in June and obviously in December 1,581. That is a huge impact on the work that the team are expected to complete. And whilst we knew there was going to be an increase and we could see from other authorities that there increased, there was nothing to say exactly how big that increase is going to be. And only last week I met with the other Leicestershire authorities to see how this was impacting them, and what they're finding is all of them are now being significantly impacted on this, and their processing times are all now starting to go up. So they are the steps that have led to the position that we found ourselves in August. I was having regular monthly meetings all throughout this period with Capita to talk about what we could do and how we could address this. And in the end, we escalated it to quite a senior level in order to see what we could do to bring some more resource in. So as I'll just point out, as I need to correct, on page 35, on the top bullet point, I have put there were joint meetings held between ourselves, and that should say Capita, not between Charnwood and Charnwood, to discuss the dissatisfaction with what was happening in processing time. So that was myself and the strategic director meeting with their regional director in order to secure some additional resources for addressing the issue. And Capita met those requirements and brought in significant resources on a temporary basis. So we had an additional 7 FTE brought in to tackle the backlog at that point, which they have done. There was no additional charge to Charnwood for doing that. That was all within the constraints of the contract. And that did actually bring the processing times now back down into line. They also reviewed some of their working practices to see how they could better process the work more efficiently. And that's made some changes in what we've done. We recognised that working with housing, the impact that some of the delays were happening. So we also put in an interim process with housing where if they felt any cases needed to be escalated, they could be pulled out. And there was a formal process between ourselves and Capita to do that, to make sure there was no risk of homelessness or of additional arrears that we needed to obviously reduce. And Capita have also introduced some automation with these notifications that I've talked about. So there's some now automation within the system that means certain notifications come in, don't need any manual intervention. They'll go off and there'll be an automated process that'll involve the changes, which is obviously helping to process some of those work more quickly. It's still a concern. We're not going to say it's not a concern, as it is for all local authorities, for the demand placed on us by Universal Credit. What we are seeing now is that Capita are now managing the workload. I'm getting a weekly update so I can see exactly what's coming in and what's going out to make sure that it's not going to rise again. They're continuing to use some additional staff that aren't within the contract. So we have some officers that are based at Sheffield that are continuing to support the work that we're doing. And those resources can be increased and decreased as the demand requires. So I'm pleased to say now, looking at the last performance progress that I've just inputted into our systems, that we are now back in line with our processing times. So we have brought those back in. And also, aside from this, the quality has now been brought back in line as well with the requirements. That was after we did issue a formal improvement notice and a financial penalty to show that we have taken as rigorous steps as we possibly can in line with the contract. But we are now seeing Capita performing where they should be, and I'll continue to keep a close eye on that for now.
Thank you very much, Kerry. Has anybody got any comments they'd like to make? Councillor Huddleston.
One possibly naive question, one comment. The table that you've got with these monthly figures, are they new notifications in month, or is that a cumulative table?
No, that's each month.
That's each month.
Yeah.
The other thing is just say really well done. I was quite critical, I think, at the last meeting in terms of the planning and what had gone on, and I think it's really good that you've got to this stage, so apologies for anything before. Very well done and congratulations for pulling it back like this.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Councillor Hunt.
I think you've done a brilliant job. Well done. You've really pulled it back very, very quickly. I'm amazed. Well, really very well done indeed. Especially when you look at those December figures that Councillor Huddleston was just referring to. Because December essentially is a 3-week month.
Yeah.
And you put 1,581 through in the space of a month. Really very well done indeed.
Thank you. And I have to give Capita credit. Yes, they have responded to quite pressurised situation. The number of staff in there working hasn't just increased on the ground, but help from elsewhere. So Mark unfortunately couldn't be here this evening because he's very well. But Capita have responded as we've put more pressure on them in order to do so, and I'm pleased with that response. We'll continue working with the DWP. Unfortunately, their systems also didn't work properly in December, which meant they held all of the notifications back and spewed them out in one go to us. So we suddenly got all of those, and they weren't on a daily basis. But just an example, Blaby, for example, reported they're getting 135 notifications a day, and they're a very small council, so this is a nationwide problem. But I am pleased at how they've responded.
If I could just come back on that, I absolutely agree, and yes, please do tell Mark congratulations as well, because I do think he's done a good job. But what you've said there, don't do yourself down, because there will be councils all over the country talking to Capita and their other organisations about what can you do to help us, but you managed to negotiate more resources. 7 FTE, I would imagine, is a whole team. So that's very good. So thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
I think... sorry, can
only a quick one. This is the department of the DWP, isn't it? Now they actually claim that they're still going to get the rollout of universal credit complete on the date that they said they were going to do. Do you actually think they are?
I'm not sure which date they're referring to. I think the latest date is 2023, but we are in a year of waiting and seeing, is how it's been described to us. They've talked about putting the 10,000 test cases through this year. I think I can't say whether I really believe that 2023 is reasonable. We need to see what happens with this 10,000 cases that go through this year before they even give us any indication of rollout to actual local authorities.
Yes, which actually pushes the point I was hoping to make, because you're having to deal with a degree of uncertainty from there that's always going to make life difficult. And I think you've done very well in the circumstances. I'm amazed that you actually pulled back that many, to be honest. I think you've done very well.
It's really amazing.
I think...
we'll see whether it's sustainable, and even if it's not, I certainly won't be blaming you. I might blame you. My experience of the DWP is not of the best, you might know.
And I think
but you
can gather, Kerry, that yes, we note the content, and we thank you very much for coming back to us after our last meeting, but also please pass on our thanks and to the whole department for the work you've done and what you've managed to achieve. And thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kerry.
Thank you.
And pass on our best wishes to Mark, and we hope he's soon better. Right, we move on to item 9, which is the work programme. And this is to propose to the Scrutiny Management Board any additions, deletions or amendments. So we move to page 37. Nikki, are you want to take us through this, or do you want us just to highlight it? Oh, Adrian will take us through it.
To really, Chair, starting on page 38.
Yes.
You'll see the items that are proposed for your next meeting on the 19th of February, so are you happy with all of those? Is there anything else you want to add? Is there anything else you want to move around or add?
For the 19th of February, starting on page 38 at the bottom, the only one... that some of them are regular items, some are 6 monthly report, is the Charnwood Lottery. That is on page 40 for our February meeting, top of the page. We did say we'd monitor it 6 clear months after the commencement of the scheme. I think we'd like to go back to SMB and ask them to reschedule that.
To which meeting,
Chair? You may reschedule
June.
Yourself.
It's too early.
Yeah. To June. We'd like it rescheduled.
I think, as Nikki's just said, you can...
we can do that.
Just
so we'll
just
move it to June. Okay? Because we want... it's no good... it's too soon. It's not 6 clear months. And also, we want it to be a positive... not necessarily positive, but a worthwhile report to come to us.
Well, by moving to June, that actually does give us a clear 9 months.
Yes. And it'll be far more accurate then. Is there anything else on this report you would like, or you're happy with at all for the February meeting?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right. Any other comments on the report? No? Right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you very much for attending, and safe journey home.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you.
Chair.
Mm-hmm.